is what you see the whole truth? Welcome to Jewish Meditation with Rabbi G, making every day count. This coming Sunday, the third day of the Jewish month of Tammuz, is the 31st Yahrzeit of the Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory. The Rebbe wrote extensively on so many topics. He addressed so many issues and advised so many people. And today I want to share with you a theme that is so relevant and so important, that is a theme that is underlying many, many of his talks, many, many of his communications, and much of his advice. The Rebbe, carrying on the tradition of his ancestors, but developing it in ways which are so much more extended, taught that we must understand that everything has two layers. There's the superficial layer, and then there's the inner layer. What's behind it all? What's the truth? This was true of how we look at the world, and it was true of how we look at another person. And this all comes from the foundation started by the Baal Shem Tov, the movement of Hasidic philosophy, to look at the internal of the Torah. In other words, the Torah also has two levels in a different way. There's the halachic, there's the commandment, all very holy and all very part of Torah, of course. But then there's the sort of going deeper and seeing what's behind a mitzvah, what's behind a Jew, the soul of an experience rather than just the body of the experience. So when the Rebbe talked about this idea of how to look at the world, he would quote a verse from Shir HaShirim, from the Song of Songs, where King Solomon said that God, when he gave the Torah, God said, "I came to my garden." And the garden here is referring to the world. Now, the world is an interesting place. The world sometimes can be seen not as a garden, but rather as a jungle. It's a crazy place. We're living today in a crazy world. There's so much distortion, there's so much materialism, there's so much hedonism, there's so much self-absorption, there's so much violence, there's so many issues in the world today that perhaps when we look at the world, what we see is not a garden, but we see a jungle. And yet, the Rebbe would teach so often based on this verse that no, you need to look at the world as a garden. It's a beautiful place. Underneath the exterior, underneath the rubbish, there's a beautiful garden of opportunity, of meaning, of ways to become closer to God and ways to make the world a dwelling place for God. And this is also true with the way we look at another person. The Rebbe was very, very well known, and this is an interesting idea. He was so widely known for his empathy and for his non-judgmentalism and his for embracing of all types of people. There was the famous Sunday dollars, where the Rebbe would distribute dollar bills to people in order to give to charity. And on the one Sunday, over a few hours, with thousands of people came. There could be great Torah scholars, great Jews, and then there could be people who were really had no connection or zero or little connection to Jewish observance. Hippies, people who were really downtrodden, down in the dumps, all kinds of people would come to the Rebbe, and he would smile at each one and he would really embrace each one. So that gave room for terming him and describing him as just a compassionate person who embraces inclusivity. But there's another component to it, and that is that whenever he spoke to these people, what would normally follow was he would expect from them. He was actually quite demanding. There was hardly ever a conversation where the Rebbe didn't advise someone to do more and to grow with full acceptance, without any judgmentalism, but yet demanding. Why? Because the Rebbe's embracing of everyone was because he was very well aware of everyone's deficiencies, but yet didn't judge them and embrace them completely, because when he saw each person, he didn't see the exterior. He saw the essence of the person. He saw the beautiful soul that the person has. He saw the untainted spark at the very depth of the neshama as being the real identity of that individual. "Who are you?" I imagine he would think to himself. "You are a soul. You are a part of God, of God's experience. You have the godly spark at the depth of yourself, and that's the real you. It might not be the conscious you. It might not be something even that you're conscious of, but it's the real you." And specifically because he saw that real you, which was the godly spark, he knew that the person possesses infinity, and therefore said, "You know, I see the real you, and therefore you're not trapped. You're not defined by your deficiencies. You're not trapped in your limitations. You have unlimited potential. You can grow step by step. But you can grow notwithstanding what you used to, notwithstanding the way you perceive yourself. Because I look at you more and deeper and greater and more beautiful than you even look at yourself. And that's such an important lesson, and such an important lesson to learn from his work and his life, of how we should look at ourselves and how we should look at others. Yes, we all have. We shouldn't judge ourselves, meaning we shouldn't define ourselves by our weaknesses. We have weaknesses. We should be aware of them and we should take responsibility for them. But we shouldn't define ourselves by them. And certainly when it comes to someone else, we should not look at their exterior. We should define them by who they really are and embrace them. But because we see who they really are, we also have to inspire them to actualize their potential, the infinity of growing so much more than they are now. And the two come together. And that's one of the beautiful lessons taken away from his teachings and the things that he taught and spread. So let's meditate on that for a few moments, because it's such an important thing. Let's first of all understand who we really are. Let's relax, become aware, focus, remove distractions, perhaps close your eyes. Think about who you really are. Start by paying attention to your breathing, just to stay focused. Breathing in and out. If your mind wanders, just gently bring it back. Feel the rhythm of life. Feel the air filling your lungs and the sensation of letting it go. As you continue to focus on your breath, ask yourselves the question, who am I? Am I just a breathing being? Just about filling my lungs with physical oxygen and filtering it and letting go of the toxicity? Am I my successes, my failures? What defines me? Who am I? But of course, we're none of that. Neshima, the breathing, represents the neshama. From the very depth of our soul, when we breathe, it's an expression of our soul, the pure soul, the godly soul, the purity of our essence, never broken, never contaminated, never destructive, pure, pristine, godly, worthy, precious. That's the real me. That's who I am. Everything else is superficial. I take responsibility for it. And I nurture it, but it's not me. The real me. Just breathe in and think about the real you, the pure, godly self. That spark is infinite. I remain pure at my depth, at my essence, so I can grow and go beyond my conscious self. I can repair and rebuild and go back to the starting point of my purity, one step at a time. Do better. Reconnect. Love others. Connect to God. Doing a mitzvah. I can actualize my true depth, my neshama. coming back, remembering that every time we feel down, every time we feel guilty, every time we feel stuck, stop, take a few breaths and ask yourself, who's the real me? Of course I've got to do the work, but the real me gives the power. We can always reconnect, we can always rebuild, and we can always grow. Have a wonderful day.